it's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Leslie Carrier.
Recently, we talked with Zim Schwartz, who is the director of the Springfield Green County 911 Emergency Communications Center, about the operations center that handles all of our 911 calls on a daily and monthly basis. This morning, we're going to expand that conversation and talk about some of the specific concerns that are faced every day by the dispatchers. So, first of all, how do you see the role of the 911 Emergency Communications Center as part of just a living, breathing, healthy community?
Well, thank you for having me on today. And 911, we are the first responders. So we get the call and we start rolling, whether it be police, fire, EMS, whatever. So I believe that we are the first responder in part as a vital part of that healthy community. The community has to trust to even call us to answer their call and then help them with the appropriate resources that they need.
So we all know that you work with EMS and fire and the hospitals and all that, but there are probably a lot more departments and service agencies in the community that you work with that we're not aware of.
Oh, we work with a large number of folks. We're in the middle of so many. It's hard to explain. In addition to the 22 different user agencies that we directly dispatch for, we are working with numerous agencies on the state level, regional level, local level, surrounding counties for 911, Department of Conservation, MSU, the security, everywhere. So we work with all the different universities, the colleges, security. We're just in the middle of everyone.
I'm sure one of the most common questions you and the dispatchers get is, what's your average response time? That seems to be a question that comes up. And I realize this obviously varies depending upon the situation and location, and I'm sure there are barometers that you want to reach for that. But how would you answer that?
Well, there's no average response time for 911. I know that law enforcement and fire strive to reach response times to folks. There's just too many variables. The first thing is that 911 is very different across the country, across the state, even in this area. We do it differently in different counties. So we're set up differently. We dispatch differently based on your different user agencies. There's just too many variables. However, the one 911 industry standard that we do have that we strive to reach is to answer the calls coming in within 10 seconds 90% of the time. So if we can minimize the amount of time on our end, then that minimizes the overall process that we start from the very beginning.
So what are some of the biggest challenges or obstacles that we might not be aware of? You know, you guys answer the phone, and what are the things that seem to be the headaches for you all most of the time?
It is getting what is happening from the caller out of an upset caller as quickly as possible. And the location. A lot of folks don't know where they are. And so it's not magic. It just doesn't automatically pop up on the screen. We have to make sure we verify where they are, what they are seeing, what's happening. So people call us with all of this information that they have seen or been involved with, and they're trying to tell us as quickly as possible, and it sometimes doesn't come out. they're upset. People call us on the worst days of their lives, and we have to try to calm them down and get out of them quickly what's going on.
How are the dispatchers trained to handle 100 different varieties like that? What's the kind of training they go through to be able to glean this information from the callers?
Oh, they are good. We have a very extensive training program, and it trains them all the different positions in the room, including police, fire, etc. And they go through 700 to 800 hours of training to be fully certified on all the different positions in our operations center. Now, we might be a little more extensive than some. Some are quite a bit smaller than we are, but we have over 700 hours to be fully certified. So that they go through on the floor, off the floor, with a communication training officer to make sure they know how to handle all these different calls, whether it be police, fire, or medical coming in.
So one of the services you provide, probably that a lot of the community doesn't know about, is a special needs form. And that is specifically set up for somebody in our community who might have special needs, might not be able to communicate or ambulate or something. So how does that work? And tell us about that process.
We have a form that it is strictly voluntary. Someone has to want to fill this out, and we are happy to take the information and put it into our confidential database, meaning that we don't use it until it comes up on our CAD screen or our computer-aided dispatch. It is a form that you fill out the telephone number and address with wherever you want to give us, and it's different type of functional needs, such as a life support system, if we've got a deaf or hard of hearing at that home, disabled, autistic, whatever it may be, mobility impaired, maybe there's someone is bedridden. If that information is something valuable for 911 to have, when you call from that location, phone number, it'll come up attached with it. We can put it into our CAD system, and that information will come up when we need it, when you call 911. So we can give that to those responding to your address to help you.
That's valuable service indeed.
Very valuable. We encourage everyone. We update it every year to make sure that the information is active and updated for us. And we have over 300 to 400 in our system right now. Go to our website. It's right there. And there's several ways you can get it to us. And we'll help you if you need it.
Give us a website in case anybody wants to access that special needs form.
It is the city of Springfield website, so it's springfieldmo.gov, and you can go click right on in there into the 911 website, and it's there for you.
Give us the latest update on Missouri. I know Missouri has been the only state without a 911 tax. You're kind of rolling your eyes as I ask this question.
It's a sensitive subject.
But give us an update. Where are we in that process?
We are the only state out of all 50 that does not have any type of 911 tax that directly comes to 911 dispatch centers. If you see it on your bill, it may go to the wireless carrier, but does not go to 911 centers to help us. This has been a huge issue, and we have tried for years to get legislation passed, and we're doing so again. So we have a 911 sales tax here in our county. We're very, very fortunate that over 10 years ago, our leaders, our city and county leaders, put that into place. It was wonderful, but not everybody in Missouri has this, and we are going again for House Bill 1456 by Representative Jeannie Lauer this year. So there are some counties, about 16 counties in Missouri, that do not have 911. So we may have it good here, but if you're traveling anywhere to visit family or friends, that is an issue for me.
One of the things we want to brag about for a minute is that many of the listeners may not be aware of the fact that Zim was nominated and selected as both the Missouri and the EPCOA International Emergency Director of the Year in 2016. So that is quite an accomplishment for you, certainly, and also a banner moment for Springfield. But obviously, you're proud of that. What are you also particularly proud of with the 911 services out of Springfield and Greene County?
It has to be our employees. They are second to none, and it takes a very special person to be a telecommunicator. I'm very proud of the work that they do every day, every hour of the day.
Well, that's a good way to end. Our guest today has been Zim Schwartz, the director of the Springfield Greene County 911 Emergency Communication Center. This program and others are available on the web at ksmu.org.